This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff. Here for you, here for your pets. Easy to get a hold of me on Pet Life Radio. You can do the old-fashioned way, 877-385-8882. Pick up the phone, dial toll-free, or better yet, join me here live. You're already here. That means all you got to do is click on the link that Mark left you for you, and you can join me here live. We can see you with your pets, preferably. I always say that a picture is worth a thousand words. A live video where I can actually communicate with and talk and see movement and stuff, that's worth 100,000 words. So it's the best. That's why we love our AirVet, our telemedicine platform. There is so much we can help you with just by seeing the dog. Then, of course, here on Instagram, here, just type away. We'd love to see, get your questions, love to ask them, love to have you join us. I'm waving. So if you have any questions, first of all, last week, remember, we had my friend Vicky, a trainer, and also an amazing rescue, Eloise. I got a lot of positive feedback back. So what I'd like from you all is, if you like the idea of having like an expert like Vicky, maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks, let me know. Load up your questions. You can send me questions during the week also, and I can have her answer them. But I'd love to have her back on. I think it was great. It went really well. She had a great time. And again, as a trainer, she loves helping people with their pet problems, because if we can solve those problems, we make a better relationship, better bond between you and your pets. So it's a win-win for everybody. You know, and I hear so many horror stories about people not being able to do so and end up taking the dogs to the shelter. That's just not very good. We want some really positive feedback, positive relationship. So again, very easy for you to do. Just send me questions, and if you want, we'll have Vicky back on. She'd love to do it. So I'm waving. Let me look for some questions here. Must have them. I have questions. So more than just waving. Let's see. While you guys are, it's unusual for somebody not to have a problem this week. I had a really interesting case this week. My associate, Dr. Davidson, who I work with, saves a lot of the hairy surgeries for me. And so this was a mass in a Frenchie's neck. And it was a little on the soft side. It was moving back and forth. We thought maybe a lipoma, weird place for it. It did feel like your classic thyroid tumor. But again, we go in really not knowing what we're going to find sometimes. Anyway, we go in, I'm dissecting deep and deeper and deeper, and we could feel it, but it seems like I was going through first muscle layers and some other more soft tissue layers, seeing some major vessels that you want to avoid, something called the jugular vein. Wow. And anyway, turned out it was a thyroid tumor. And the good news was, because it was so movable back and forth, those are the ones that aren't really deeply attached to deeper tissue, and they can be very carefully dissected out, which we did. You know, it's funny, going into the surgery, we thought maybe it was something more minor. So I didn't have it taped videos. Usually I like to videotape my surgeries. Had I really felt that's where it was a little off to the side. It just didn't feel like your classic thyroid tumor. Anyway, it was sending it off for biopsy. We'll find out what's going on. But those are the greatest surgeries, because a lot of times when you take care of it and you get it out, you get the tumor out, you're giving this dog a little extra life. We don't know how long. Depends on the tumor, the type of tumor. Depends also how much it had already spread. Is there a fear of what we call metastatic disease, where it's going to spread? We don't know yet, but it's just great. And then also, let's talk about something while you guys are getting the courage. 15-year-old dog's eye is not producing tears. I was in medication or other. Okay, so yes, there are something called doggles instead of goggles. And they're really, when they were made, they're meant for dogs who love driving in cars and love sticking their heads out the window. Now, mind you, dogs don't have the same sensitivity at the cornea itself. You know, we get an eyelash or a little fleck of dust in our eye and we're going nuts. Dogs, for some reason, don't have that same sensitivity. And that's why they don't mind sticking their head out of a car, going on a freeway at 60 plus miles an hour, and all the particles, particulate matter, but it can cause exposure keratitis. And that's what we are dealing with a lot of these times. So You can get goggles or doggles, but there are a number of things. Here's a trick. There have been medications. First of all, Optimmune is a medication that helps tear production. One of the things that I always ask, if it's both eyes or not, if the dog had a cherry eye surgery years before as a younger dog where they actually removed the glands, that's something to talk about, because no longer do we like to remove. It used to be, we had a cherry eye, we used to cut the gland out. When I graduated veterinary school, you know, we're looking almost 40 years ago, that's what we did. We don't. We want to save the gland. Why do we want to preserve the gland? Because the gland actually has a function too. And not just is it very reactive tissue, like a tonsil tissue, but it also is an accessory tear producer, which young dogs don't need. They make plenty of their own tears, but as they get older and their regular tear glands stop producing as much tears, now the added tear from that accessory gland could be of benefit. And if you took it off when they were a puppy, you remove the gland, now we're going to have really bad dry eye called KCS, keratoconjunctivitis seca. So the key is, if that did not happen, some dogs will just get KCS. So it's a matter of trying to enhance tear production, also control any secondary problem, such as entropion. If the inward lash, if the inward eyelids, the eyelids are rolling inward and the lashes are always rubbing on the eye, that causes irritation that can produce or that can enhance any type of dry eye situation. If there is dysticiasis or trichiasis, that means aberrant lashes or multiple lashes, again, growing in the wrong direction, that could produce. Any kind of eyelid mass can also contribute to dry eye. So those are things that need to be checked really carefully. And then, of course, secondary infection. Sometimes it's inflammatory. Sometimes it's actually a corneal problem. Those need to be identified and addressed. Then comes treatment. If it is clear, everything else is perfect, it's just dry eye, then again, Optimmune is a new medication that seems to work. But the other thing that I really like, and I still use it, it's old fashioned, but so am I, and that is pilocarpine. Pilocarpine is an eye drop we used to use, but I find, and not I mean, I didn't make this discovery, but I certainly like to use it, that other specialists have come up with this discovery, using pilocarpine in food. So we put a couple of drops in their food, and that seems to stimulate more tear production. So I would recommend that as well. And of course, just using, if you have artificial tears on a regular, you can do it multiple times a day, just provide externally what the body is no longer providing itself. And so that's something you should do. But I would definitely recommend that. And then, by the way, this leads me to something else I wanted to talk about today. And that is, if you aren't in the northern part of the United States, or especially the Northeast, where the Canadian wildfires are creating havoc in many cities, one of the irritating things we're seeing are eye irritations. So a lot of this could be used as well. Anyway, Lori, I saw you pop in for a second. Are you still there?
I'm here. No, I'm still here.
Okay. So tell me.
Hi.
So let me just give a little background. Lori's been having some problems with your cat. I said I would call her after the show, but now she's joining me live, which is even better.
I said I would probably speak with you.
Anyway, real quickly. So we've been decreasing a dose of steroid for an inflammatory bowel disease condition that was working. And then we're getting to a point where we're at such a low dose that the cat is now seemingly to have some problems with diarrhea, soft stool again. So
yes.
One of the things that I talked about with Dr. Feldman, Lori, is we'd like to maybe swap over to something called budesonide. And the reason that it's a steroid, but it doesn't have the same potential diabetes producing problem that we get when we have cats on too much steroid. Regular
Her
cortisone.
Sister was on that. That was the one, remember, I had written in and asked if we
right.
could go on that one. Dr. Feldman didn't think it was strong enough yet.
Right. So what Dr. Feldman didn't want to do it right away, but I just spoke to him last week. And, you know, as we talked about decreasing the dose of the steroid, we might get to this point. So I will check the dosing for you and we should maybe continue. But if you want to go up for the next couple of days back to the full pill, that's okay.
I did today because I've done 3 days and I saw it going to mush and I knew what it meant.
So okay, so she did. I'm going to put this a little louder so people could hear you on the show too. But anyway, yes, so we did go up and then I'll get the dose of budesonide and we will make a very swap from the prednisolone to the budesonide.
Talk to Robin. Robin's been in touch with us.
I will. You know. Robin is the pharmacist that does the compounding. All right. Anyway, thanks for joining me. Now you have your answer.
Thank you.
You just saved me a phone call after the show.
And, yes, I did. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me.
That. All right. Thank you for doing that for me.
You're welcome. Okay. Next up, we have any other questions? Ah, she has cherry eyes. But, so that's another thing. If the cherry eyes are there, does she have cherry eyes now? Are the glands protruding? Because if they are, then they may have lost their function. The cherry eye, third eyelid gland, called the gland of the third eyelid, if that is exposed to air for a long time, it dries out. So therefore, maybe those glands should be tucked. There is a surgery. I do it all the time. It's called tucking the gland of the third eyelid. So they're there. They're still functional, but they're out of sight. But if they've been out for a long time and they have chronic cherry eye, then I would be, I'm kind of bummed because had this been addressed way earlier, I see animals coming in a lot and they have chronic cherry eye. Didn't you ever discuss this with your doctor? They go, oh yeah, they said as long as it's not causing a problem, it's not bothering them, you can leave them. No, that's not a good idea because you don't want to remove them, but you want to tuck them. You want to keep them as healthy as possible. Why? Because they are accessory to your producers. So we want to keep them there, but functioning, but of course, aesthetically out of sight. So I would, anyway, that's another thing. It's losing your vision. Otherwise, you're seeing your blood. So if her senior blood came back and the glands are salvageable, I would recommend tucking them. But in the meantime, treat it as a dry eye, KCS. That means artificial tears. That means Optimmune, checking the eye for other problems. And of course, trying that pilocarpine in the food, that would be a help. All right. Some hot stuff. Anal glands. I have three dogs. Once having these anal extractions, anything to do to help us? Well, besides having the anals removed, that's the key part of the question. Yeah. I mean, adding some fiber to the diet might help. Some dogs just do it. I mean, you can be taught how to do this yourself. Don't know if you want to do it, learn how to do it. It is really gross. I even hate doing it. And I'm pretty good at it. But no, if it's happening that frequently, the dogs don't mind it. And if it becomes part of their normal maintenance, like ear cleaning, like toenails, brushing, it's just part of it. They'd be okay. If not, you know, your veterinarian, your groomers, they can do it on a regular basis. We have a number of dogs that come in very regularly for the expression of the anal glands. But again, if all else fails and you just want to take care of it once and for all, there is a surgery that can be done to actually remove the glands. I know, don't do it myself, it's hard. Trust me, gotten it in the face before. I've gotten that stuff in my hair. I mean, you got to learn how to do it and don't get right behind the dog. You got to learn how to do it from the side. So you never, I mean, it's pretty gross stuff. And the smell lingers, trust me. Kind of like a skunk, just skunk's gland. You know how it is. Very hard to get the skunk smell out of your dog when your dog's been skunked. So anyway, yep, I know the problem well, and unfortunately, it is what it is. But there are some things that could be done. Okay, the glands got larger. Yeah, I'm telling you, I think that the problem is once those glands get too large and the tears no longer keep those glands moist, they lose their function. Then they really need to be removed, or they may be contributing to the problem now. If by keeping them moist, you can still get some life out of them, then I would definitely go with the tuck of the gland of the third eyelid. And for those of you who have dogs with cherry eye, prolapsed gland or third eyelid, I highly recommend you have them tucked. Do not sit and wait. It's just going to be a disaster later on. And here is a perfect case in point. So anyway, don't go away. We are going to be going for a short break. I'm waving to those of you who I didn't. Hi, Janice. And all right. So we are, we're halfway through our show. Keep your questions coming. When we come back, we want to talk about what you can do to avoid the terrible problem with air quality when it comes to these Canadian wildfires that are affecting the U.S. as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, so we're just talking about, we just started on Instagram Live talking about zoos and how a lot of people don't seem to like them, and they may have their reasons, but they like to turn themselves either sanctuaries or animal reserves that are helping preserve species that otherwise would have become extinct under controlled breeding situations, preventing the predators from getting to them. And now these numbers of some of these animals are now rising to the point where they're able to preserve the species. But the story that I read was that it seems like a lot of animals in these zoos are thriving because of human visitors. So, for example, elephants display fewer signs of boredom. Grizzly bears and polar bears, cheetahs, raccoons, they start displaying positive behaviors when people come to visit them. So it is very interesting. We may not think they like it. We maybe think we're doing them harm. There are some of these places and some of the big ones, the famous ones, they are creating environments that really are exactly similar to their natural environment. And, you know, of course, the ones that are just cages and those, yes, we all have issues. But some of the really big ones are recreating their natural environments, and these animals are thriving, and they seem to enjoy the human visitors. So anyway, just keep it going. Now, one thing we talk about a lot, and that's the influenza. We are seeing more and more of it. Even I'm very hesitant to recommend new kinds of vaccines unless it becomes a problem. In other words, if the disease itself is justified to vaccinate against, if it's a few cases, I'm not one to start recommending. I mean, for example, unless you're doing a lot of hiking in the canyons or the mountains here in Southern California, I don't want you to get a rattlesnake vaccine. And we don't see ticks carrying Lyme. I'm not recommending Lyme disease vaccine. Now, if you said to me, oh, you're going back east for the summer, oh, of course we're going to do a Lyme disease vaccine. So anyway, what we're seeing now, there are more and more cases of influenza coming out. So therefore, a lot of places are now recommending and are not only recommending, but requiring the vaccine if you go to a doggy daycare, if you're going to board, et cetera. But what's happening is because of this, many cities are now experiencing a shortage of the influenza vaccine. I don't think it was anticipated that we're going to need this much, that it's become such a problem. So just keep that in mind. Call your veterinarian. And in other words, if you want to take a pet somewhere and you really want to get that vaccine, make sure they have it in stock, because a lot of places, unfortunately, don't. Insurance will not cover tucking teary eyes. You know, it all depends. If it was done for aesthetics, maybe not. If you have your veterinarian actually right, this is not for aesthetics. This is a problem that needs to be addressed. They may cover it. I don't know why they don't. That's something that's not, it's not like a normal thing, like hip dysplasia in a dog. So the question about what you can do to have dogs that are a little, that don't like being groomed, and how do you groom them without knocking them out? It's probably a little tough. What I would recommend is if you have dogs that just really hate, go back to square one. Hopefully these dogs are somewhat treat motivated and use positive reward. And what you do is you take out that brush, you brush it against the back once, and then and give them a treat. And that's it. And then do that the next day, you go twice. Good boy, good girl. And then again, each time you do sit down, maybe every other day, always treat, always, you know, the brush, and you get to the point where, you know, the very many, many times you're not going to get anything accomplished because you're just doing a brush once or twice. And then each time a little bit more vigorous and a little bit longer, and see if that can help. If the dog gets used to being brushed, and actually because of the positive reward and the fact that you're giving treats at the same time, they hopefully may respond more favorably. And in case that would be, of course, what you're looking for. Okay. Trying to get your questions in. Give me a sec. No, we can't have any requests in. Yeah, live video. Vicky, we can meet. I'll get a hold of you afterwards. Now, here's a question. How to keep your two cats from fighting? Well, I mean, the easy answer is get rid of them. I'm just kidding. You have to find out what are the triggers? Is it just seeing each other in a room? Is it around food? Is it around you? Is it around treat? I mean, hopefully cats just don't fight for no reason. So there's got to be something that initiated the negative altercation, the negative relationship between these two cats. Now, usually when cats do well, again, this is most cats, and I always joke, not all the cats read the book, is when food is out and you feed them separately, that they start tolerating each other. And so what I recommend doing is you start feeding them in the same room, but literally at other ends, and do that for several days. And then slowly, gradually, bring the food bowls closer and closer together until they tolerate each other, because food eating is more important to them. Also, if there's some things you can do to maybe calm them down a little bit, sometimes you can give some catnip. See if you can just bring that level, that emotion level down a little bit. That might help as well. Otherwise, coming up ways in, to keep them separate. Now, New York Yankee, thank you. We're headed to New York, actually, in a couple of weeks. But I want to read that. Thank you so much. So wildfires in Canada have kept my dog inside, windows closed. Now, hopefully this stuff won't linger in the air. So this is, you know, by the way, thanks for bringing that up again. So yes, you want to keep your animals inside. You want to limit any outdoor activity, and even inside, maybe get an air purifier and any vents that allow outside air in, even though the old-fashioned window air conditioners, those may not be good. Air purifiers are great. Try to get good air circulation in the house, maybe floor fans, things like that, just to keep things moving. Some people have come with these makeshift masks. I think that might be a little overkill. The key really is, if you have to go outside, there are certain parts of the day where when visibility is much better, that means that the pollution is less, and then maybe take them outside, but no throwing balls, no running along the bicycle for 2-3 miles. It is going outside to take care of business and come back inside the house. And again, try to avoid letting any outdoor air into the house. When this all passes, just keep in touch with air quality. When the news and the weather channels start saying that air quality is better. In fact, I was on Fox Weather Channel this week doing a story just about this. You want to stay tuned to your local weather forecast. And when the air quality seems to improve and is at a safe level for you, then it's going to be safe for your pets. So however it is that you're, whatever you're doing now for you to stay out of outside, in other words, stay inside with air purification, with minimum outdoor air coming in, or as best as you can, no outdoor air coming in, decent air circulation within the house, then that should be okay for your pet as well. So, you know, we're telling people now is just stay tuned in the news and hopefully this will pass. Now, they were hoping if there was some precipitation coming, that will drown out a lot of the pollutants that are in the air. But understand, watch your dogs for any coughing, excessive sneezing, rubbing at eyes, redness of the eyes. Then those might be signs that there's a problem. And especially your certain breeds, brachycephalic breeds, like your Bulldogs, your French Bulldogs, your Pugs, your Boston Terriers, your Shih Tzus, your Japanese Chins, any of those dogs that already have those smushed in faces, they are greater risk. So again, why? Because the longer the nose, the more opportunity for the cells inside the cilia, inside the nose, to get rid of those pollutants, and instead of having them go into the lungs. The shorter faced dogs don't have that same amount of protection. So again, they are greater risk. So you want to be really careful when it comes to that as well. So I hope that helped. Well, I think I got to most of your questions. If I missed anything or anybody, get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me during the week here at Pet Life Radio, Dr. Jeff, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. Love your questions. Love you to join me here live if you can, like Lori did. And here on Instagram, the same thing. Just ask away during the week. Send me a message on Instagram. Get a hold of me at jeff@airvet.com, Dr. Jeff, drjeff.com. I mean, someone says I couldn't find you. I got really, I'm told I'm pretty easy to find, even people I don't want to hear from. So if they're finding me, you certainly can find me. And anyway, we'll be here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, here on Instagram Live, here on Pet Life Radio. Lori, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And have a great week, everybody. And any questions, just please send me during the week. You don't have to wait till Sunday for me to help you with your questions. And have a great week and be safe out there if you are in areas that are affected by those Canadian wildfires. Be smart. And certainly, if you have any questions, you can always reach me. All right. We'll see you next week. Be well.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.